T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back in. Hour number 3 of Straight Up with Sturge. Mark Childress here with Mark Sturgis. And for some reason, probably not your best one.
Meow.
Meow? What'd I say? Oh, gosh.
We were talking.
Wait, are we going Super Troopers here? What are we doing?
We were saying, how many times could we make fun of Patrick here in this hour? I said 5. He tried to up it up to 7.
Yeah, it's a 7. Go up to 7. Why not?
Wow. Okay, complete distraction. Hey, if you want to get in, 844-GSP-ESPN. If you want to talk Tigers, Gamecocks, I like to... We flip the script here a little bit. I like to ask Mark Sturgis kind of to look ahead a little bit, and the game's coming up. I think we've got some interesting stuff this week. We're going to do a whole segment on the NBA, Sturge, since you've given me control, because I know you love talking NBA. So I want to break down the Bucks and the Jazz and the Clippers, if you're cool with that. I'm not doing that, folks. Trust me, I'm not doing that.
I'd rather break down the ill-fated nice. Left hook capability of Rajon Rondo.
I do have one question about the NBA.
Yeah, fire away.
We saw the Hawks actually win a game.
Yes, they beat the Cavaliers last night.
Yeah.
Yep.
How good do you think Trae Young could be?
Man, he's, you know, Dan Favalli is a guy from Bleacher Report, kind of our NBA guy that we have on the show sometimes. I don't know if you've heard him. He's really, really almost brilliant when it comes to NBA. He's got Luka Doncic or Trae Young as his Rookie of the Year candidates this
year. Wow.
I think the upside on Trae Young is really, really big. And he's so good with the basketball, you know, the assist just as much as scoring. So I'm a Hawks fan. They're going to have a really bad year, but they're fun to watch right now with all these young guys going
better
out there.
Better than last year?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a Hornets fan.
Man, maybe not from a win perspective, but yep. I think they'll be more fun to watch.
I'm a Hornets fan. We just had the highlight of the year earlier today. Kemba Walker named player of the week number one the NBA.
Isn't he leading the NBA in scoring right now?
Yeah. Is it going to get any better than that? Is a Hornets fan?
Start.
Because let me ask you guys. I mean, I know it's Mark's hour, but I feel like college football this year kind of replicates the NBA, in which you have a pretty good idea what the answer is before the season ever begins.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You might, and Patrick and I were talking during the break here, Sturge, when you had stepped out for a second. The parity in the NFL now is amazing, and every team is still in it. The Texans start 0-3 this season, which any other year I feel like in the NFL, you're done. The Texans now lead their division by themselves at 4-3, which is crazy.
With a tough quarterback. I mean, I know he played down the road at Clemson, but let's give this guy credit. He couldn't even fly to Jacksonville, so he takes a 12-hour bus ride. They don't want due to his lung, him flying. I mean, just think about that and being ready to go on Saturday, and just as quickly as we were ready to bury Michigan and Texas after week number one of college football, same thing with the Houston Texans. And again, it's not how you drive, it's how you arrive.
That Houston Texans defense is legit. And if Deshaun, I mean, how much have we watched Deshaun over the last 4 or 5 years? You can tell he's not near 100%. You can tell he does not want to run the football. He's not as mobile as he normally is. He's even not making some throws that I feel like he would normally make. So get him healthy, and who knows. So, Sturge, I want to start looking ahead to next week in college football. Mm-hmm. We don't have a great slate of games, but I feel like we've got some interesting games. And Thursday night, you've got Diesel's Appalachian State team taking on Georgia Southern. Two teams we don't get to see a whole lot of. Both of these teams are real good football teams. That's a Thursday night matchup on ESPNU that I think's worth watching.
There's a couple of games on Thursday night that are worth watching.
Yeah, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech's another one, which I think is interesting, and Baylor, West Virginia.
Exactly. But going back to App State, Georgia Southern, listen, the guy at Georgia Southern's done a great job this year, and the fact that that's a gift that keeps giving Clemson some notes if it comes to having to get into numbers. Clemson, with Division I opponents, has the best record in the country right now against D1 opponents. Why? Georgia Southern's not FCS anymore.
No.
They're in the Sun Belt. But
they're 6-1.
Yep.
The only loss is to Clemson.
Yep. Game. But App State, man, I tell you what, we talked a little bit last hour about the eyeball test. That's a team that's looking better and better and better, and you're going, wow, they're really out there doing a really good job. job of mining the talent that the likes of North Carolina and Virginia Tech are leaving over. And I tell you what, Scott Satterfield's one of those hot names in college coaching, but he just doesn't leave for anywhere. Why? He's a lifer at App State.
Yep. And my buddy Robbie Ross is the voice of the Georgia Southern Eagles, so we need to get him on later this week so he and Diesel, if nothing else, can talk smack to one another.
Yeah, we'll try to get a fight started, no doubt about it. And, really, I can't wait with Diesel tomorrow to hear about, you know, he spotted the game for the national radio broadcast.
Yes,
on
I forgot
Saturday.
About that. Yeah. That'll be fun to hear about.
I called and checked in with him for a moment. Number two, you know, he's kind of been a distant member of our family, if you will, and I need to let him know about what happened with Toby this weekend. He said, I think I did good, just like you said about your first attempt at hockey being a color commentator. You'll be much better now that you know what the expectations are for the second time.
Yeah, well, maybe that'll be a nice little gig for him going forward. So I hate the idea of ACC football on a Friday night. If you're a Clemson fan, last year, of course, they lost to Syracuse on a Friday night. I don't know why the ACC keeps doing this. But you've got one of your marquee teams, even though they're not as good as you think this year, but Miami at Boston College on Friday night. I'm watching this one, Sturge, because Boston College is one of two now with NC State, one loss ACC teams in a conference perspective. If Miami beats Boston College on Friday night, man, at that point, Clemson can lose one at that point, even to Boston College, and still win the ACC Atlantic, which is their next goal right now. So do you have any interest in this game at all?
Yeah, I want to see if Miami continues to regress. We thought Perry was going to be the answer to all their problems with Malik Rozier. Now they're going back to Malik Rozier. Number two, one of the names I start paying attention to this time of the year, a lot of people love recruiting, all right? You know, we're number four, we're number eight, we're number 12. Recruiting is a business, all right? I'm sorry, you cannot sit there and tell me that somebody with their eyeballs can tell you who is the fifth best and who is the 12th best defensive end prospect in the country. So it has become a money-making proposition that a lot of people enjoy, and I get it. You can spend your money on what you want. I am a much bigger fan of the college football coaching carousel, and one of the names that's popping up this year is Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator for the University of Miami. I'm like, why?
Turnover chain, baby. Come on.
But what has he done defensively in the last couple of years after being released at a couple of SEC schools?
Yes.
Why all of a sudden is Manny Diaz one of the hot names in this year's coaching carousel? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
They had a historic year last year forcing turnovers, right? And that, for most part, tends to balance out. It's gone the other direction on them this year. I think they were plus eight at this point last year, and they're minus 12 this year. It's something like that. That right there is the biggest difference in the Hurricanes from last year to this one. I agree with you on Manny Diaz, and this is an interesting one where if you're a Clemson fan, you're pulling for Miami. Mm-hmm. You want to see every team in your division continue to lose. If Clemson can take care of FSU and Boston College were to get that second loss, I think the Atlantic becomes a sure thing at that point.
Do you realize what's going to happen that final weekend in November? And we're just a month away from there.
What is that?
The Virginia Tech-Virginia game is going to determine.
I was going to ask you about Virginia next. Okay. Yes.
The Virginia Tech-Virginia winner, that's going to be who Clemson faces in the ACC championship game.
You got to love what Virginia's doing right now in Bronco Mendenhall. And they've got North Carolina, a team that continues to find unbelievable ways to lose games. They've been playing better. North Carolina at Virginia. I mean, Virginia could go up to 4-1 and be right there in the coastal race. And you thought they'd be pretty decent, and considering what Mendenhall say he had 30 Division I players on his team this year, imagine if he had 60.
No kidding, but again, I watched some of the 28-14 win at Duke on Saturday. You just look at the skill, talent, and the speed on a neutral field in Charlotte. That becomes a home game for Clemson in an ACC championship game, and Clemson's just flat out faster. I mean, it's not even close. The reality is, this much I learned from this past weekend. The gap widened between Clemson and the rest of the ACC. Now, it might shrink a little bit on Saturday, and the fact that I think Florida State, even though they're 38-17 win at home this past weekend over Wake Forest, they're the one team that's got some of the Jimmies and the Joes that can compete with Clemson. Just mentally, I think they're a little fractured right now, but we'll see what takes place. That's a noon kickoff. There's going to be about 15,000 empty seats there in Doak Campbell on Saturday. So Clemson's going to have to answer some questions then about generating some of your own, your own enthusiasm, if you will.
Definitely. And I want to, when we get to the next segment, I want to flush out both the Clemson and South Carolina matchups for you coming up this weekend. And again, another one, and I'm focused heavily on the ACC here on purpose. You've seen both of these teams come into Death Valley already, Serge. NC State is going up to the Carrier Dome on Saturday night, 7 o'clock start, NC State at Syracuse. Who do you think wins that game?
Why does this got the feeling, don't let one loss beat yourself twice,
exactly,
written all over it? NC State fan base, Dave Dorn, they all, yeah, now Dave Dorn's out there trying to do a little bit of mental coaching of his team, going, I didn't recognize that team I saw it there on Saturday. Why? Because they got slapped in the mouth to begin with and never recovered from it. So Friday night at Syracuse, coming off
Saturday night.
At Syracuse, coming off your first loss, in which you found out that you can't blame it on, oh, you know, thank God NC State owned that loss. That's one of the few things that have come from NC State the last few years I could handle. They didn't go in there and go, it was a couple of calls or a couple of turnovers from us being in that football game. They went in and said, you know, Clemson smacked us in the mouth and we didn't. There's a lot to be said for that as well. So at least they weren't making excuses after the game. They got their butt kicked. That could help them, but that does have the feel of one loss beating you twice all over it.
It does, and Syracuse is the only team that scored more points than Clemson so far on the season. There's another thing that's going down for Syracuse that's super important in this game. This is why I've got this one circled. One, they're 4-0 at home. They're tough to beat up there. They are 5-2, Sturge. A win gets them bowl eligible, right, which for Syracuse is a gigantic step for that program. And if they've got to have that circled for Saturday night, watch out, NC State.
I mean, and plus it's so early in the season that you could possibly get, you know, 7-8.
Oh, yeah.
The most you can get is 10 wins in the season. But the thing is, if you get 8 wins at Syracuse, you go to a very nice bowl game. Kind of helps with recruiting up there in the north. In the Northeast.
Or it helps Dino Babers solidify himself as one of the best up-and-coming coaches in college football.
I agree.
And let people bid on him here in the offseason. But the other thing is, when it comes to Syracuse, is you know what? They may have found a lot and gained a lot of confidence. They struggled with North Carolina this past weekend,
they did,
but
got
they
lucky.
Still found a way to win.
Yep, and they've got Wake and Louisville coming in after that. So they're going to get bowl eligible. But I know that you look ahead on the schedule, and I like to look some too. There's some weird ones in the ACC to keep your eye on this weekend, and those are definitely a couple of them that you want to do that.
Real quickly, before going out to break, Mark, I've had this written down all day long. Wofford, nice win on Saturday.
Yeah.
They got East Tennessee State 30-17 at home. East Tennessee State's first conference loss of the season. And what to me was effectively an FCS playoff elimination game, Samford comes into Furman on homecoming, gets a 38-25 win, and I just don't see any way, shape, or form with 4 losses now that Furman can get back into the mix.
They'd have to run the table. They're not going to even have a chance, more than likely, unless some weird things happen. It's it getting some type of conference thing there. So, excellent. Well, Sturge, I want to you might have seen this over the weekend, and if so, we'll put Patrick to the test as well.
I didn't
see
anything this
weekend.
Okay,
well, then I've got some interesting questions about what the ACC has looked like since the year 2015. So I want you guys thinking about this, teasing it for the next segment. Clemson obviously leads the ACC since 2015 in wins. They are 26-2. I'm curious who you guys think the next 2 or 3 teams in that line are for wins in the last 3-plus seasons, and you might be surprised what you think. So we are going to chat about that, and we're going to talk Clemson and South Carolina, looking ahead to next Saturday, some interesting matchups for both teams. Welcome back in. Hour number 3, Straight Up with Sturge. Mark Childress here with Mark Sturgis. And we flipped the script a little bit here. I'm in the host seat, and Sturge is in the co-host seat, so I can ask him a bunch of questions and pick his brain about all things football. We may even talk NBA in an upcoming segment as well, just to see where he's at. I've been talking to you about it.
We want to let our people know what we're going to talk about in the NBA, Mark.
What is that?
Savage Sports News is tweeted out 12 minutes ago. Yeah, come on, man. Transgender woman claims she has sex tape with LiAngelo Ball.
Oh, come on.
Dude, do you realize LeVar in the first of all, I don't care. Number 2, I don't care. Number 3, I don't care.
I have no comment, except I teased this in the last segment. Yeah, exactly. I teased this in the last segment. So David Hale, who's awesome on Twitter, follow him if you do not already, covers the ACC for ESPN. He put out what I felt like was a fairly eye-opening bunch of stats this weekend. And the one that jumped out to me was this. So if you're driving in your car, you're listening. From the beginning of 2015 until this weekend, what are the top five teams in total ACC conference wins in football? So Clemson is at 26-2, which in itself is just an unbelievable statistic when you think about it.
How about 47-4 going back to the beginning of that championship run?
I know. It's absolutely amazing. So I'm going to ask the two of you guys, who do you think are number two and number three in wins within conference in the ACC since the beginning of 2015? Patrick, I will ask you first.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Sure.
You know, I don't follow the ACC that much.
I know. So you looked less confident than Sturge, so I went with you.
You freaking homer.
Oh, yeah, I'm a homer. Yeah, I've been studying.
Remember, Patrick hates your school and loves your rival. That's a story in that.
No, that's not the case. Okay, I have love for a lot of teams, just not UCF.
Nice. Who you got at 2 and 3?
I'm going to say Florida State and Virginia Tech.
Okay. Sturge.
I think he got one of them, Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. The other one I will split between Pitt and NC State.
Miami has the second most conference wins since the beginning of 2015 at 19-8, followed by Virginia Tech at 18-9. And then you've got Pitt, Louisville, and Florida State, each with 16 wins. Okay. So when I started thinking back, the other two teams within the ACC over the last few seasons that have gotten the most hype are Florida State and Louisville. Mm-hmm. So I just automatically thought. So that was number one. That was the first eye-opening piece of this. Then I start looking down to the bottom. So who do you think are the three worst teams in conference play since the beginning of 2015?
Well, one's obvious. That's Virginia.
Virginia is not in the bottom three.
Duke.
Duke's got to be in
that mix. Duke is not in the bottom three. It is Wake Forest with 8 wins, Boston College with 8 wins, which I found stunning.
Yeah.
Syracuse with 8 wins. So the three.
How many wins has Virginia had?
Virginia had 10.
Wow.
So think about
God,
this.
God, that doesn't tell you, no offense, this doesn't tell you some of the mediocrity of the ACC.
It does. Well, but what it tells me is what do we say every year? Oh, man, the Atlantic is so good and the Coastal is so bad. Mm-hmm. We've been wrong the last few seasons. The Coastal ain't great, folks. But it's better than the Atlantic, which has 3 8-win teams at the bottom, and FSU and Louisville have not been as good as we thought.
That's where I would say that the bottom of the Atlantic division has been stronger than the bottom of the Coastal division. But you go look at the top two spots on those tides, and it's not even close because you got Clemson and then whoever's been chasing them.
Right. I just thought that was some interesting stuff, and obviously maybe enlightening to you guys as well, since we were all kind of off on some of our expectations around
it. Let me ask you this, all right? Speaking of that team there, you mentioned Louisville.
Yes.
That's a frustrated crew up there. Not only the fan base, but the media. Because the media was out there trying to sell back before that opener against Alabama. You remember, Bobby Petrino sat up there on the dice and said this is going to be his best, most complete football team since he's been at Louisville.
Lies.
Lies, I tell you. No, what it proves is maybe Lamar Jackson should have won back-to-back Heisman trophies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Louisville fans think that they are, if they decide to go ahead and make the move, they would owe, $12 million to Petrino, but his buyout actually goes up after this year. So it might be better to just cut bait. But they think that they are going to go out and get Jeff Brohm, who just led Purdue to that impressive 49-20 win over Ohio State. I will argue you, Louisville fans, why would Jeff Brohm take a step down from Purdue to go to Louisville? Again, some of the things that we knock UCF on, you can knock Louisville on. It's a commuter school.
Yeah.
All right. Now, they've done a hell of a job of changing that over the last 10 to 15 years. You've got Papa John's Stadium that really is only full when Clemson or Kentucky comes in and brings 10, 12,000 fans with them. I look and see what I saw Saturday night in West Lafayette. You know, I remember West, you know, even under Drew Brees, Purdue made it to a Rose Bowl back in the day. Now, Jeff Braun's going to be able to leave and go to better programs, but the Louisville, my friends with the ESPN Louisville, feel like it's their God-given right that Jeff Braun is going to come and save their program, and I would maintain that that would be a step down or a sidestep for Jeff Braun at best. It would not be a step up.
It would only be a step up, I think, with the dollars associated with the programs, because Louisville's got deep pockets, and they are investing money in growing that football program.
But here's the deal. They got rid of Papa John as their sponsor, so they don't have that money coming in on the football stadium.
Yep.
The board of trustee member has already said, we don't have $12 million in which to buy out Petrino. And then number
two, they may still owe Petrino a bunch of money, depending on how that lawsuit shakes out.
And I think this is what's got my buddies, that TBG, the notorious TBG on Twitter, Drew Diener, those guys with ESPN Louisville, they felt like the football program was the one place that they had some even keelness, if you will, when it comes to the Louisville athletic program. And they're like, dude, we're actually more dysfunctional in the football program than Patino was in the basketball program.
For me, he should not leave. Louisville right now does not scream big money, big, you know, opportunity job. It screams they need someone to be the new face.
Yes.
They need someone to kind of take the blow a little bit and just kind of just say, hey, look, we're moving in the right direction. Don't forget about our past. You know, oh, we didn't do that. No, this is the future.
All right,
my
buddy, That Boy's Good. That's where you can follow him. He's with ESPN Louisville. I love it. His Twitter handle, it's at That Boy's Good, but he goes by the notorious TBG instead of the B-I-G.
Yeah.
All right, just tweeted a minute ago. Just got off the phone with a buddy of mine who thinks Lane Kiffin is the best choice, and I unleashed every mean and nasty thing I quit telling strangers on this app. Feels good, too. Real good. But I would maintain that...
You talk about karma. I mean, you talk about karma hitting a program. You selected Rick Pitino, who's been in trouble before, Bobby Petrino, who's been in trouble before, and you wagged your finger at everybody and talked about how great you were, and the karma bomb is coming in epic proportions at Louisville.
As Matt says it comes for UCF first, the college football karma ghost.
Really does. If it does not happen to UCF this year, I'm going to be highly disappointed.
It's going
to
happen.
I'm going to want my money back. All right.
Buddy of mine on Twitter is like, should we do Urban Meyer a favor and go ahead and call Papa John's, see if we can't get a large order to him outside that Purdue lot? You know, because you always see him on the golf cart eating this little small Papa John's pizza there outside the stadium. Mark, real quickly. The Nazi police are out, or the Nazi grammar police are out with the WeFixMoney.com free stash cash contest this hour. All right, you can text the following word into 72881, but you can we'll take any of two spellings on Arctic is the 6 p.m. keyword.
Why would we take two spellings?
Because whoever was the genius at Intercom, obviously we had an intern at Intercom Corporate put our keywords together this month because they're supposed to be like all three and four letter words, you know?
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want is somebody in South Carolina trying to text in neighbor as they drive down the road. You know what I mean? First of all, they got to figure out how to spell it, even if they didn't listen to it. Secondly, they've got to get it text in without messing any of the
and I before E, right. You're doing that whole thing in your brain.
So it's supposed to be stuff like two, T-W-O. All right. You know,
you said two, then I'd put T-O-O.
Okay. Nazi
grammar
police.
Wait, does somebody
police,
here
right.
get to pick the words? Because I want to pick the words.
Actually, it had to come out of Intercom Corporate.
I would love to pick the words.
It had to be some intern up there for a few months going, look, guys, I did this bang-up job. And then puts in Arctic, A-R-T-I-C. It forgot to put the silent... the C in there. So we will take either A-R-T-I-C or the correct spelling of it, A-R-C-T-I-C, which either one, Arctic, it means cold. And I tell you what, we cut the heat on in our house last evening for the first time.
I legitimately thought like it was going to be spelled with a K at the end and not a C. And like those were the two spellings we were going with. I'm like, what? How?
It's the same thing. People that live here know when you say that school 30 minutes down the road, there's an invisible P in the pronunciation. You don't say Clemson. You say Clemson.
Yep.
So that's how I know if anybody knows what the heck's going on or not. I also know if you are now 10 years into William Christopher Swinney's regime here at Clemson University and you still call him Dabo, then quite frankly, you're not that good at your job because you're not paying attention to it.
Yeah, you
should
you got
not,
that right.
You should not 10 years into Coach Swinney's tenure say Dabo instead of Dabo. That means somebody has not gotten in your ear and got. That means you haven't been paying attention. So again, Arctic. A-R-C-T-I-C, or we can do Childress's spelling of it, A-R-T-I-C.
Come on, man.
Text 7-2-8-8-1.
That's what you're doing to me. I'm hosting right now, and you're going to still bag on me because I got the con. Because
you're leaving for the rest of the week. I do.
I may be back one more day.
You may be back Wednesday, but you will be filling in for G-Mac on Thursday. G-Mac's stepson having a pretty serious surgery on Thursday. All right.
Yep. Hey, I want to pick your brain about Clemson FSU, and I want to talk about Tennessee South Carolina when we come back. Welcome back in. A couple segments left here on Straight Up with Sturge. Mark Childress in with Mark Sturgis today. We've kind of been all over the place, Sturge, but I think we've been having a good time. That's all that matters, right?
No offense, I needed this today. It's like hanging out. Yeah, we had an adult beverage here in front of us. It'd be like a random night out, and
yeah.
I needed it. I hit you up earlier today, bro. I was like, I'm sad today, man. Again, we lost a family member and our 13-year-old golden retriever yesterday, but thank y'all. Y'all done my heart some good. I've giggled a couple of times today, and you know what? The longer you get away from it, the easier it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, glad we could give you a little bit of a respite.
You actually talked to my wife this morning. She's like, he is asleep in the bed, and we're going to leave them there for a little while. Yeah. Thank you all for doing so.
Very good. Well, hey, we got a couple of interesting matchups this weekend. Patrick, I want you to weigh in on this as all well. Right. It's Gamecocks, you know, taking on Tennessee, hosting Tennessee this Saturday night. Do either of you know, in 6 7:30 kickoffs in his career as head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, how many wins does Will Muschamp have?
One.
Zero. He is 0-6 on 7:30 kicks, which to me is mind-boggling. It's just one of those random statistics that come up. Can I ask Patrick first?
Sure. Because
he's got a worried look on his face.
He should.
What do you think about the matchup with the Vols? I'd be a little bit worried, too, especially coming off of a bye week if you start slow.
First of all, I don't appreciate the hand
what you doing, yo?
Here's the thing. I'm worried about this matchup because it feels like every year – I have to worry about which South Carolina team is going to show up every week.
Yep.
And to me, are they going to be the team that shows up in that played against Missouri, who kind of fights their way through the whole game, doesn't let anything up, and they just kind of, you know, they get a punch, they take a punch,
yep.
Kind of that way. Or are they going to play like Georgia and not have a shot at it late in the game?
Yeah.
And to me, that scares me because if this was Tennessee of last year, I have no concerns. Tennessee of last year looked terrible against the SEC. But this year, they've already got their first SEC win. And yeah, they lost by 30 to Alabama. But the thing is they never gave up. They continue to fight throughout that whole game. And to me, I think Tennessee's heart is actually going to be the key factor into this game.
Ooh, be respectful. It was 37, all right?
There is no winning with you. There is no winning. I'm trying.
He's got to let it go, man. He's going to keep doing it.
No, just
gotta,
because he could not be more wrong.
No,
you think he's wrong about this matchup this weekend?
South Carolina wins this game by 10 points Saturday night.
You think so?
Yep.
All right.
Because I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Jeremy Pruitt has now got to get his team back. People forget what he said about his football team walking off at halftime on Saturday. Let me tell you, those kids heard it. Those kids saw it later on that night. Those kids are going to be reminded. Remember, I'm going to have to go out and find 25 players and sign them and play them next year so this crap doesn't happen again, blah, 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 talking about being down, 42-14 at halftime.
Yep.
I think he's got to work on getting those players back this week. This could literally be one of those games that beats you twice, not only because Garantano got knocked out of the game for Tennessee. Now, if you ask me, Christ was the much better of the two quarterbacks, Keller Christ, I think it is, that came in. But, no, I think Jeremy Pruitt and his intensity took a little bit of a bite out of his backside this weekend. He's got to get that football team back after those comments walking off the field at halftime this past Saturday.
It'll be interesting. The Gamecocks are a 7.5-point favorite. Which,
I think that's too high.
Yeah, that seemed a little bit high for
that
me.
That means Vegas, in my opinion, is going, wow, thinking somewhere down the same thought process. Because I would sit here and tell you, but between the two teams, Tennessee's got by far the most impressive win of the year on them, and that's that win at Auburn.
Yeah. And South Carolina, you know, Patrick, the first thing you said was what jumped out at me, is South Carolina hasn't had that head-scratcher yet. I mean, they've lost to three good teams. I mean, it's Georgia, Kentucky, and Texas A&M are their three losses so far this season. So they haven't had that one where they should win, and they haven't. With that said, no. I'm in agreement with Sturge. I think the Gamecocks find a way on Saturday.
I'm not talking about the head-scratcher. I'm talking about the performance-wise. Because the thing is there you could have said anything, and you'll probably disagree with me about this, but South Carolina should have had a better chance against Georgia than what they showed against Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay. When they played Texas A&M, it was a close game.
Yes.
They came back in the second half and showed their fight and their will, but it was a close game. You actually believe that Carolina could have won that game?
Yes.
Very easily.
They just can't play a first half like they did.
Exactly.
Now, that Jacob Bentley gets a ton of credit for his performance there in the second half with three touchdowns and, I believe, no interceptions. Now, he also has to be held accountable for the lack of production in the first half, in which he threw a terrible interception in the end zone. However, Deebo Samuel needs to go take a long look in the mirror, because that's a 75-yard touchdown pass if he holds on to the ball. So, Jacob Bentley, you know, we went into the season going – one of the best units, if not the best unit for the Gamecocks, is the wide receiver core. Mm-hmm. And they've let Jacob Bentley down at times. Jake's let South Carolina down. But receiver core's let him down.
I am always the first one to stand up and say Jacob Bentley messed up some parts of the game and stuff like that. But that game against Texas A&M, the wide receivers let Jacob Bentley down.
His stat
sheet should have been loaded that game. He should have had three touchdowns at least in the first half. There was a lot of good things I saw from him, but the wide receivers couldn't catch anything.
But you know what? He got to sulking, did Jake Bentley, in the first half a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what? I think his receivers fed off that. Now, he's got to learn to channel there somewhere between going off of the tangent he did in the third quarter with beating his helmet against everything on the sideline and sulking in the first. I still maintain, listen, I'm no offensive coordinator, but I've stayed in a Holiday Inn Express in the last year. You got to sit Bentley for one series every first half to A, calm him down, but B, maybe get a little package in there for Skarnecchia or DeCarrion Joyner. But I think just as much as to calm Jake Bentley down as anything else.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree with you more.
So the Tigers are going down to Tallahassee on Saturday. They're playing another noon game. Let the fan base rage. But I've seen anywhere from 14 to a 17-point spread. Clemson has never won back-to-back in Tallahassee. Never won back-to-back in Tallahassee. So my thoughts on this, Clemson has, if you're a starting pitcher and you throw two hitters in a row, doing that third game, you're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Clemson has played two darn near perfect games in a row. I worry that they're going to have the early turnover, that the ball's going to bounce funny on a punt.
Yep.
I think Clemson's going to win this game, but I don't see this thing being 34-3 or something like that.
I don't see it being 34-3, but I see Clemson winning a couple of touchdowns. Whether they can cover 17, that feels kind of high.
Yeah.
But here's why. I feel better about it today than I did maybe last week, because NC State sold their soul for the devil to stop Clemson and Travis Etienne on Saturday, and they found out that, wow, a freshman quarterback can beat us, and that's what happened. And I think now, whichever way, if you want to zig against this Clemson offense, they're now confident enough that they can zag, you know what I mean? So I think Clemson wins. I don't think they cover. But then again, I didn't think they cover versus NC State. And they could have covered 50 if
they covered
wanted.
In the first 20 minutes of the game of that one. What say you? So you were pointing north. You think another Clemson blowout?
This has the potential to be another Clemson blowout.
Oh, yes.
This has the potential of being 40-0 at half, in my opinion. Florida State has shown nothing to me to scream that this team is going to hold up any weight, any value against Clemson. However,
with all due respect
to both of you.
That doesn't mean you can say anything you want to, Patrick Brown.
Let me say whatever I want to say, okay? I have the controls here behind the board, okay?
He does. Be careful.
That suck button can get you fired.
this feels like the one game that Clemson can Clemson in the sense that they may take it a little easy. Take it a little bit, maybe like a Pitt situation a few years ago. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to happen. However, Florida State always seems to be, even if it's the they don't have the team that could even match up to Clemson, they always seem to be in within a puncher's chance.
Well, they've got Jimmys and Joes. We know that, all right? But I just think the thing that helps Clemson avoid that moment that you were talking about is the fact that it's the spear on the other helmet. And you know you can't do that.
It was 31-14, I think, last year was the final, Clemson over Florida State. Florida State was not great last year. They were hanging in that game going into the fourth quarter. Again, I don't think this is going to be blowout city where we're at halftime looking at it.
And, man,
don't bring up Clemsoning to Dabo. That went away a long time ago, man. You were close to saying it. But again, you know, is Clemson going to drop a game this season? This would be one. I don't think they're dropping one at home, including your Gamecocks. But this one in Boston College, this one in Boston College, are they feel like the potential to do some gotcha. But I just think this team's too good this year.
If they're not number two, if they don't go down and handle their business, pretty easy way to summarize it.
So. Yeah. We'll absolutely see that. Well, hey, I got a couple more games that I want to pick you guys' brains about. There's an interesting SEC matchup that I can't get my head around yet this weekend, Georgia taking on Florida.
Also, I want to apologize. We have Monday Night Football coming on tonight. It is the New York Giants at your Atlanta Falcons.
Final segment of the day on Straight Up with Sturge. Mark Childress here with Mark Sturges. Sturge, you want to flick through the NBA schedule for tonight real quick and let me get some of your thoughts?
Yeah, because I've got some chilly thoughts on that. Like the 6 p.m. keyword is Arctic.
Arctic.
A-R-C-T-I-C. Listen, like I said, I saw a pretty nice pillow fight between Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo the other night.
I'm just saying, a good NBA game tonight. If you're interested, Hornets and the Raptors.
Yeah. Raptors got a good team.
It might be a sneaky good game. 7:30 tip-off.
I tell you what.
It's Spurs at Lakers tonight. LeBron doesn't have a win yet. Game starts at 10:30. I know you like to stay up late. You're going to be watching, right?
Listen, I always had respect for Showtime and the Lakers. I won't pull for them at all now that LeBron is on his, what, fourth team.
L.A. Bron.
Yeah, I just, again, he doesn't care that I don't like it, and I get it, but that doesn't mean that I have to like it, you know? So
I just don't care about the West.
I just don't care, about LeBron.
No, I don't care about the West. I don't care about the Lakers. I don't care about the Warriors.
I think LeBron's a great guy, but I think there's a hell of a lot of drama that comes with him, you know? And there's a reason that people aren't lining up to go sign up and go be his teammate, because if LeBron wins, LeBron did his job. If that team wins, LeBron did his job. If they lose, you didn't do your job in letting LeBron lead his team to the win. I think it's a very catch-22 for anybody to play with him right now.
Yep, it'll be interesting. I'll be watching some NBA tonight for sure. I want to ask you guys about Florida, Georgia. Vanderbilt at Arkansas, noon kickoff, which I guess is 11 o'clock local time. You think Chad Morris gets his first SEC win this weekend with Vandy coming to town?
If he does, then the hot seat's going to ratchet up on Derek Mason, because Arkansas did get a win this weekend. It was 23-0, but now that's a 1-7 Tulsa team, so it's not like they exactly did anything.
Yep. Well, I'll be pulling for him for sure. Florida taking on Georgia. TIAA Bank Field at Jacksonville. You seem very passionate and adamant about this. Florida's playing good football right now, and Georgia had got smashed and then has the week off to think about it. That's not a good place to be.
Hopefully Kirby Smart handles this. First of all, Kirby Smart's in year number three of being a head coach. Not year number three of being head coach at Georgia. I'm saying year number three of being a head coach.
Yep.
I think you saw a little bit of that in that 20-point loss at LSU a couple of weeks ago. The other thing that I'm confident in, one head coach that does more with mediocre quarterbacks than anybody in the SEC is probably Dan Mullen. I'm talking Dak Prescott. Made him into a starter where I'm not sure all Dallas fans want him starting, but he is the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. And then Nick Fitzgerald. We've seen a few others as well. So I think Felipe Franks has got a little bit more confidence in more so than he's ever had in Gainesville. They're playing a little bit more loose. They're playing a little bit fun. I think the pressure got to Georgia. We saw it against LSU. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to go ahead and call Florida in this game just simply in the fact I trust Dan Mullen with quarterbacks probably more than any other thing that I trust in this football game.
What say you, Patrick?
I'm kind of thinking about it right now. And
it's a tough one. This is a tough one.
I just brought something for you to think about.
No. Well, first of all, no. I'm not, I'll never credit you that.
You suck.
He's still thinking about the NBA.
No.
You wait till Thursday,
I'm never going to credit you for that, okay? Because think about it. You don't do it for if Diesel was here, he'll never credit it for you, so I'm just keeping with the momentum, okay?
That's why we like Pat.
I'm keeping the flow around the show.
You guys okay over here?
The thing is, I feel like the winner of this game wins the SEC East.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, they're in the driver's seat.
They're in the driver's seat, and yeah, we know about Kentucky's over there, but...
Do you feel like Kentucky's going to win the SEC East.
Gosh, they have no offense.
They're going down this weekend.
No, they don't. Their defense looks great.
It sounds like they're playing quarterback by committee at Missouri on Saturday. There's one
place.
They had
like 18 passing yards this past weekend.
There's one place you don't want to get into a scoring contest with quarterback by committee when you're Kentucky.
And
so who you got, man?
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to go with Georgia just because they've had a week. They've had 2 weeks basically to focus on Florida, to focus on shaking the cobwebs off. I'll take Georgia.
So has Florida, and game day is going to be there for the first time in over a decade at the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. And let me give credit where credit is due. Everybody now gets held accountable when it comes to Washington State, when it comes to hosting game day from this point moving forward.
I agree.
Looked like a pretty good crowd. So before the season started, I told you Miami and Georgia were the two most highly overrated teams in college football. I was right on Miami. Mm-hmm. And I might be right on Georgia, but I'm with you, Patrick. I'm having trouble pulling the trigger on these Gators. The SEC East, even though the AP rankings will tell you differently, is incredibly weak this year. So I'm going to have to wait till later in the week to figure
Franks in the second half outplays Justin Fields.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Gets the win.
I'm wondering if Justin Fields is making an appearance if Fromm is flat again.
That's why I think Georgia's got a little bit of an issue. Clemson's quarterback situation has now been handled. Alabama's has been handled, and Georgia's got that cloud still hanging over their head.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Sturge, it's been fun today. You want me to wrap it up?
Okay. Because I'll be at Smoke on the Water. You'll be back hopefully Wednesday and then filling in on the huddle Thursday.
Yeah, I will be here hopefully on Wednesday with you. I will definitely be on from 1 to 4 on Thursday. So everybody tune in. If the huddle isn't on your usual rotation, you're doing it wrong already. Definitely put it on your rotation for Thursday. I look forward to talking to you guys then. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.